Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a busy lineup here in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. And then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. We're doing a statewide town hall meeting right here with Montana Talks. Man, you know what topic number one is going to be. Zelensky showing up in his pajamas at the White House and then picking a fight. Bad move there, Zelensky, with J.D. Vance and President Donald J. Trump. I mean, who does this guy think he is to lecture us, you know, and think that he is entitled to our money? My goodness, but we're going to get Congressman Zinke's take on that, and then you'll be able to jump in on the phone lines as well, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. A very busy 8 o'clock hour here as well. In fact, great to have Stacy Zinn, former head of the DEA here in Montana, kicking off the show here this 8 o'clock hour for us. Stacy, you made the trip to Helena last week. There were a couple of different marijuana-related bills, apparently, that were moving or going through committee last week.
That is correct. They were trying to lower the THC levels both in the flower and in the concentrates. Unfortunately, that bill did not pass, but it's gonna open up the door for future conversation with marijuana here in Montana. The second bill was for the taxation of it, and we are in need for funds to go towards enforcement, prevention, and facilities and stuff like that. So that one, it did pass, and it's going to the Senate. And so I look forward to seeing that we can get some monies for actually doing something for those rogue dispensaries or the black market that is slowly creeping into Montana.
So, yeah, so everybody's trying to change how all of this tax revenue that's coming from the recreational marijuana industry, how they can use that in different ways. Some folks, like I think our attorney general, wants to see more of that money directed towards law enforcement, which certainly makes sense. Other people want to see it directed towards mental health and other health programs to deal with the fallout mm-hmm. of massive amounts of basically almost unregulated marijuana, right? And then some just want to have it used towards like outdoor programs and things. But so it seems like there's no clear consensus on where that money should go.
And this should have been done years ago. But unfortunately, that's not the case. We followed in Colorado's footsteps because they were also caught flat-footed, rushed to get the bill in, get it approved, and then they went, uh-oh, we got a problem here. We have black market coming in, but we don't have enough law enforcement to push it back. We don't. Marijuana is now shown to cause mental health issues. In some instances, the high concentrate levels with these, especially with these kids, their brains are developing, it's causing issues. We don't have the facilities or the structures to help these kids. So again, we are also now flat-footed and we're trying to catch up, which is unfortunate, but we know we have a huge project ahead of us, and so hopefully we'll be able to get it rectified in the future.
So one of the things that Stacy Zinn has highlighted before is the potency that could be in today's marijuana. Look, this is not, you know, your 1970s Aberday Kager marijuana at the University of Montana in Missoula, right? This is not Cheech and Chong. This is crazy potency in some circumstances. And so I think Montanans might be surprised at actually how little regulation there is on marijuana compared to almost any other industry in the state of Montana. So hold that thought. Stacy, we'll start there right after this.
Securing America.
A recent House Armed Services Subcommittee hearing looked at the role of America's special forces in the global landscape. Texas Republican Congressman Ronnie Jackson describing that role.
To combat the continuous and evolving threats posed by violent extremist organizations.
Democrat Jason Crow of Colorado adding that special forces need to
conduct counterterrorism operations while ensuring they can support the joint force.
Major General Peter Huntley, the commander of the Marine Special Operations, talked about the importance of special forces.
This is about maintaining and enhancing an elite, persistent, inside force that has a generational relationship with strategic partners and the capability to sense, make sense, and act faster than our adversaries.
While Army Lieutenant General Jonathan Braga described special forces as lethal warriors, all of the military leaders who testified stated that investments in special ops pay big national security dividends. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
an update on what you can contribute to your retirement accounts. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
You can still contribute to your regular or Roth IRA for last year until April 15th of this year. CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says if you're over 50, you can contribute more.
For 2024, the maximum contribution you can make is $7,000. And if you are younger than 50, then the maximum contribution is $6,000.
If you are age 60 to 63, this year you'll be allowed to contribute more to a 401k plan. Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got just a quick few minutes here with Stacey Zinn, but I definitely wanted to sneak her in first thing here on this Monday. So, Stacey, you had a good idea. Let's start with a little marijuana 101, because there was a bill to regulate the potency levels of marijuana. A lot of Montanans, I think they just assume that there's already limits on marijuana and limits on the potency of it. They assume there's regulations when there really aren't any. So give us the marijuana 101. I know we've only got a quick few minutes here.
So when I was growing up, and I can't say when you and I were growing up because I'm a lot older than you, but when I was growing up, a joint, we called them joints, now they call them cigarettes, that contained anywhere from 1.2 to 2.3 THC levels. You pass it around, you get maybe 0.9% THC levels in your system. Fast forward today, the marijuana is capped. The potency is capped at 33 to 35% in those joints / cigarettes. You move over to concentrates. Concentrates are the gummy bears, the suckers, the brownies, the cakes and stuff. That is at 80%. There's no cap. So when you take a gummy, you have to cut that gummy in half, eat the first part now, and then wait 2 hours and eat the other half. Then you fast forward to the dab product. The dab product is pure THC that has been extracted from the plant and is placed into these cartridges or the carts. And what they'll do, these kids are vaping this THC that is high as 90%. Now, you should be asking me, so, Stacey, what's the big deal about the high THCs? And I'm going to say, we do not know, because we are not doing enough studies to determine what it's doing to these developing brains. We are seeing that the brain is expanding, it's swelling it, and the front portion of the brain is being damaged. These kids are having mental health issues down the road because of this high THC. Now, the adult brain is already fully developed, and it's not impacting their brain as much. And they can, if they green out, meaning they have a psychosis-type issue with the marijuana that they've consumed, they can respond better than these kids. This is why this drug is a very dangerous drug, and we don't have enough studies to determine what it's going to do to these kids.
So what was your simple message to the legislature? Because when I was looking at a KTVQ television report on this, and apparently some folks like State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson were saying, hey, they were supporting a bill to reduce THC content in marijuana flower products from 35% to 15%. 15% still sounds like it's anywhere from 5 to 15 times more potent than what a marijuana cigarette 30, 40 years ago would have been. But yet there's still opposition to even setting a cap at 15%.
Well, the problem is with the plant itself, that we have gone overboard. Big marijuana has crossbred these plants so much that there's hard to find. There's seeds available to regrow these plants and have lower THC levels. But what's going to happen is that the industry is going to have to then destroy other plants, or they have to wait a year, or whenever we were going to set this in motion, and then they have to get new plants, grow new crops and stuff, and then have lower THC products. What we need to concentrate now is on the concentrates and the dab product, because what we've seen is this part of the industry is out of control, and this is what the kids are leaning towards. And the fact is, you can pull that back. Now, if you're going to pull the concentrates back, then we've got to figure out what we're going to fill it. And it's like heroin. Heroin is cut with different type of chemicals and additives. That's what's going to happen with marijuana when you pull back the concentrates.
So what you were saying is, hey, there's things like dabs. And the only reason I know what dabs are is because there was an incident, 2-3 years ago, where some students at Billings West High School had, the word used was overdose, whether you call it an over, either way, these kids were sent to the hospital in an ambulance because they were dabbing. And you're telling me that the potency of those dabs could be like 80%, 90%?
90%.
Yes. 90%. So you're saying, hey, Montana legislature, you need to set a much lower limit on dabs in particular.
Absolutely. This is a section that we need to really concentrate in order to protect these kids, because marijuana industry will get mad for me saying this, but there's still black market. There's black market marijuana here where sometimes, and some facilities, is going out the back door. These kids are also getting it off the internet, but there's product up there that is high as 90%. These kids vape it. They'll put it in these cartridges. They'll go into the classroom or into their gym. And what happened with the West boys is that they were like vaping. They call it another terminology, but I won't say it on the radio. But you hit it, you're supposed to put it down for 30 minutes and then come back. These kids going vape. They're greening out. That's what they call it. It's when they go into seizures or they have a fallout, they go unconscious, or they just get violently sick. Now, West is not the only one. We had it in another high school, Northern Billings. We've had it over on the West side. So this is just not a isolated incident. This is happening across the state.
Probably happening more than we're hearing about, too, but
because
it's medical incidences, privacy issues, it doesn't get reported to the public by the schools, etc. So what about, you know, those gummies? I would think, you know, smoking a cigarette is harder than chewing a gummy, and they think they're eating gummy bears, that the taste is better. That's why you see a lot of these kids that will eat too many of those things and freak out, think they're having a heart attack or something like that. So what's the regulation there? And
there's no regulation on those gummies
at all. So
correct.
That's why you're saying focus on gummies, focus on these, you know, these edibles, focus on these
the snacks, all that stuff.
Yeah.
No, absolutely, because again, the high concentrates of marijuana are causing mental health issues in some individuals. Europe is doing the studies. New Zealand even doing studies. We have not done the necessary studies here because it's a Schedule I drug, and it's a money grab from across both sides of the aisle. Democrats and Republicans are making money, but when you have George Soros, and we know George Soros, when he's putting a lot of money in big marijuana, that is a huge problem.
Interesting. All right. Well, we should have another guest up right after this, but you never know. There might be a delay between when they call into the studio. So if we can sneak in a call, we will, but we might have to get to our next guest right after this. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Montana is not a very urbanized state, but the U.S. is a very urbanized country. And even though the landscape of big cities seems fixed at any point in time, a look at history books reveals plenty of changes. Those stories of growth and decline have any lessons for us here? You might think that metro areas that are big tend to stay that way, but the lens of history says otherwise. In 1870, St. Louis was the fourth largest city in the country, larger than Chicago. The railroad drastically changed that. Detroit, Baltimore, and even Boston have been pushed aside by Sunbelt cities that continue to grow rapidly. The invention of air conditioning has changed many things. You can get an idea of Montana's changing growth from the numbering system used in our vehicle license plates, of course. The current numbering system reflects population rank in 1930, with a few exceptions. If they were updated, mining-related declines would make Butte Silverbow's current number 1 fall to 8, while tech and visitor growth in Gallatin County would vault them to number 2. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. A penny for your thoughts. Should the government eliminate the penny? President Trump wants to do so, but any such plan could hinge on Congress. Through legislation, the late Arizona Congressman Jim Colby and late Arizona Senator John McCain wanted to keep the penny as a coin of the realm. They pushed a bill to maintain the penny, mainly to boost mining in Arizona. The Grand Canyon state produces 2/3 of the nation's copper. Even so, pennies are only covered with copper. They're mostly zinc. But GOP Arizona Representative Dave Schweikert has a bill to temporarily suspend production of both pennies and nickels and then study if they should keep the penny or cash out. It costs 3.69 cents to make a penny. The government lost $85 million after spending about $117 million to ship 3.17 billion pennies in fiscal year 2024. And if they have trouble figuring out what to do about the penny, perhaps they could flip a coin. And maybe that would make a lot of sense. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I don't see our guest, our next guest on the phone lines just yet, so let's sneak in a quick phone call. Greg Franks in Billings on the phone lines. Greg, thanks for the call. Did you have a quick question or comment for Stacey Zinn?
Yeah, quick question for Stacey. I'm hearing that California and Colorado are particularly hearing a decreased and legalized marijuana sales and the tax revenues. In fact, these organizations are shutting down due to the legal marijuana coming. Is there any preparation that the state of Montana is looking forward to facing this impact? I mean, we can't continue to spend this money if the trends follow in those two states. I'll hang up and listen to your call.
Oh, very good point. Yeah, so two-part. Is the California and Colorado, is the legal marijuana industry being overrun by the black market? And then the second part is, well, if Montana is looking at how to use this revenue, how to spend this revenue, well, what if the revenue goes away because of the black market? So good two-part question there, yeah.
So I'll go with Colorado real quick. The Colombians came in and tried to take over the black market. They were run up by the Cubans. Cubans own 15%. The Chinese own 45%. You shift over to California. The cartel has now overtaken the black market, and the tax revenue is all going to basically, it's been lost to them. And big marijuana is saying that we cannot operate in the state of California because the black market's taken over. You look at Washington and Oregon, the Hmong and China, Chinese have taken over the black market there. They've also shifted over to Maine and to Oklahoma, and they're taking over the black market there. So it's only a matter of time when we're going to see who's going to come and start taking over the black market here. But yes, all that tax revenue that everyone's like going, oh, we're going to get all this tax revenue, it's going to go to the black market eventually.
Interesting. Yeah, good cautionary note for our legislature before they start baking that into long-term budgets, maybe dedicated to short-term projects instead. All right, Stacey's in. Great to see you as always. I've got a couple of bill numbers from her, by the way. SB 307 by McGilvery is the bill that's the revenue allocation bill. That's the one she says is a good one to support. That's SB 307 by McGilvery. And then SB 443 by Senator Hertz was stopped in committee. That's what would regulate those synthetics and those edibles. So you can contact your lawmaker if you want to see SB 443 revived. All right, speaking of the legislature, our friend Henry Kriegel, the Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, joining us for our weekly legislative update. And, of course, this segment brought to you by Americans for Prosperity Montana. Henry, great to have you on the show. What's your focus this week at the Capitol?
Well, you know, we got a good amount of our bills through, and it's pretty crazy up there. As you know, as they head to transmittal, they have to delay transmittal by several days. It's not happening until next Monday. So there's a lot of action going on up there. Aaron, we have some good wins, we have some losses, and we still have things on the table here. So one of our big bills, HB 592, that's called the Baby Reins Act. That is moving forward. I'm happy to announce that'll rein in big government. It'll rein in the administrative state, which, you know, these unelected, unaccountable administrators. And I'm not saying this is happening in the Gianforte administration, but they are an obstacle to innovation and prosperity. They many times write rules that are unrelated to the actual bills that are passed. They have economic consequences in terms of compliance. It costs individuals, small business owners, the energy sector in particular, lots of money to comply with, and it's an obstruction. So we want to have this thing settled moving forward during the Gianforte administration, which we've got great cooperation there. We have Courtney Sprunger as our sponsor of HB 592, And it did, the bill did pass 19-0 out of business and labor, which is really good news.
Wow. Unanimous vote. That's huge. Because
unanimous vote.
Because normally, as I understand it, and we had Representative Sprunger on last week, and this mirrors legislation by Congresswoman Kat Kamak out of Florida, who I know you and I both have gotten to meet. She worked with AFP back in the day but this would basically say, hey, no, unelected bureaucrats don't just get to come up with new laws and regulations. If Congress didn't tell you you can do that, you don't get to do it. And so this would be similar legislation at the state level. But normally the Democrats want the unelected bureaucrats to do whatever they want to, but they unanimous vote. That's huge.
Unanimous vote. You know, Courtney was the right person to leave this bill. We're going to strengthen it the following session as well. But this is a really good, a significant step in the right direction, and I'm happy to announce that it should go through on second and third reading. I don't see any real issue with that, so I'm happy to announce that. We also got a bill that we worked collaboratively with our partners at Frontier Institute, and that's the right to compute. This is a bill that will set the foundation for the use of artificial intelligence and ensconce tech freedom while also protecting individuals. So it passed third reading, 50-0 in the Senate, and that will go over to the House. This is a model bill for using artificial intelligence and ensuring technological freedom and also having appropriate safeguards in place. So this is a very positive step. So I know I sometimes come on here and I complain about our great bills don't get through the system, but I wanted to just at least start out with those two positive notes. On the third note, judicial reform. Unfortunately, Representative Paul Fielder's bill that would give the option for judicial candidates to declare their party affiliation failed on second reading in the House, 47-53. So that was a disappointing loss.
This was the one because there's
this is the optional one.
There's one bill that would make it mandatory that they have to declare affiliation, whether it's Republican, Democrat, Green, Lib, whatever. This was just the optional one to give them the option, and a majority House Republican chamber didn't vote that thing through. You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm serious. Disappointing. It was disappointing. I'm not going to name names today, but some of the Republicans try to hold on to this thing, but we have to have a fair and impartial judiciary, but we don't really have one right now due to the money interests backing those who are left of center, because this is the court of last resort for those who are progressives. They don't like the bill, they challenge it in court. If we don't like the outcome, which is usually not in our favor, it gets appealed to the state Supreme Court, where we generally lose because no one knows enough about these judicial candidates to vote appropriately. However, we did get one win with Chief Justice Swanson. We lost with Dan Wilson. The three on that state Supreme Court is 5-2 left of center. And we're not telling people we want judges make decisions based upon a party platform. On contrary, we want unbiased judges.
We just want fairness.
Judges who are constitutionalists. We want fairness. We want judges to apply the law as it was intended when it was actually created.
Yeah.
Not legislate from the bench.
That is disappointing to hear that a Republican House majority, I get it, we don't have the super majority that they had, in the last legislative session, but are you kidding me? I can't wait to see the list of names to be like, what in the world is wrong with you people? You couldn't even support a bill to allow Supreme Court candidates to declare party affiliation. It doesn't require them to, but allows them to. There's some of these legislative Republicans, and I'm not even just talking about the nine that are voting with Democrats and liberals. There's some of these legislative Republicans. It's like, what are you doing back there? I mean, we should not have to worry about your vote on some of these bills. I are they getting battered by the lobbyists? Are they getting battered by the community organizer leftists? What is going on back there sometimes?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. But, you know, here's the list. Some of these people I work with in other bills, too. You know, it's not like I don't talk to these guys. But you got Ken Walsh. Both George and Melissa Nikolakakis. John Fitzpatrick, who was unmoved. I tried to talk to him in the hallway, and he just said, nope, not voting for it.
Really?
We've got a few others there. I won't call them out to date. There's still another option that's working its way through from the Senate. That's Daniel Emmerich's bill, SB 42, which would require judicial candidates to announce the party affiliation. If they want to be independent, they would have to get the required signatures to run as an independent.
Not
up for free choice, because we don't want to use the force of government to force people to affiliate. We believe in the right of association. We also believe in the right of to not associate. We've got to make some reforms there. And yeah, we'll go with SB 42. It's going to make its way across to the House. It's getting transmitted. So there's another option. And there'll be a third one, I think, that's being worked on as well. So
keep hope alive on that one, or keep the pressure on your lawmakers to hey, this is one piece of judicial reform we absolutely need, because we already have partisan control of our Supreme Court right now. It's Democrat Party control. It's out-of-state environmental group control, et cetera, you name it. Henry Kriegel, about 1 minute to go. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, you know, we got some other good bills that are making its way through. There's a lot of chaos going on up there, a lot of stress, but, you know, we're making some progress with some other issues, like we're making some progress on pension reform. We're going to do this incrementally, unfortunately. We'd love to do it in one big fall swoop, but we can't. SB 287 is going to make its way across, make its way to the Senate for second and third reading. Guys, we'll keep you posted on other. We've got some good housing reform bills that are making it through. We've got to increase the supply of housing. That's the law of supply and demand. We need more supply, because people have discovered the big sky, the great state of Montana, the last best place. So keep engaged, guys. Check out our local offices around the state: Billings, Bozeman, Great Falls, Kalispell, Missoula, and Helena. Check us out. Shoot us an email at infomp@afphq.org, and we'll hook you up. Aaron, thanks again for
all right.
This time.
Yeah, Henry, no, thank you. And I see Josh Carl and crew are going to be in Eureka today at lunchtime. I'm missing out on that one. That'd be
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was glad that Henry Kriegel named some names there as well, because my first question was like, who are these Republicans that voted against this judicial reform bill that would simply allow candidates for the Montana Supreme Court to declare party affiliation? My goodness, we already have one party rule in our Montana Supreme Court, and it is Democrat Party rule. It is left-wing mob rule on the Montana Supreme Court, and it is a train wreck. You wonder why we can't mine it here, drill it here, log it here. You wonder why we lose so much common sense here in Montana? It's because of our courts, these liberal federal judges and these left-wing mob on our Montana Supreme Court. So I'm glad Henry finally named some names there. Yeah, appreciated that. Tammy in Kalispell says, it's time to call these people out. It's time to name names. Democrats are running as conservatives, and it's time that Republicans grow a pair and start outing them. Hope you have a great day. Thank you, Tammy, for that message. Shelley in Gallatin Gateway says this, the lobbyists have too much power. We know this. Democrats, Republicans, doesn't matter. They don't do their elected job for the people that pay their salaries and instead continue to bow down to kickbacks from lobbyists. They are just as disgusting and corrupt in Helena as the swamp in D.C. They should be ashamed. The Montana Shooting Sports Association, by the way, is also naming some names. Can you guys believe this? What has been one of the most important issues we have been talking about in recent years right here on this show? Debanking. President Trump has talked about debanking. Governor Gianforte has talked about debanking. And these woke ESG rules. that want to drive you out of business, that want to debank you. It started with guns. It started with firearms. The woke left said, oh, well, we can't really pass gun control laws. We'll get shot down by the U.S. Supreme Court, or if our bills even get through Congress. So let's go another way to shut down gun rights and gun businesses. So they said, oh, let's use our buddies on the big Wall Street banks to debank the gun industry. We're down at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and we heard Montana-specific examples of people that were debanked. Or, oh, well, we can't even ship your products because it's a gun-related product that you're trying to ship. Gary Marbot, the head of the Montana president of the Montana Shooting Sports Association, says, we need help. Senate Bill 127 died on third reading in the Senate after three Republican senators switched sides and voted with Democrats to oppose the bill. This is a bill, SB 127. Oh, I was thinking this was the debanking one. Okay, this isn't the debanking one, but nonetheless, SB 127 would pay for legal defense costs if you defend yourself, are charged with a crime, argue self-defense, and are not convicted. SB 127 is to dissuade or pay for frivolous prosecutions. The three senators they're urging you to contact are Denley Logie, Greg Hunter, and Josh Kassmeyer. Okay, so that is not the debanking bill, but I do know that at least one of those senators, Senator Greg Hunter, voted against a debanking bill that would protect gun businesses here in Montana, that would protect, you know, people, religious, people of faith from not being debanked because they don't, because they have, you know, Christian beliefs. And so, anyway, it's such a major topic, and yet you see Republicans voting against this stuff. It's crazy. All right, well, let me jump right into it here. We've got a great guest back on the show with us here, Heidi Paulson, just a great woman. I first read her story in the Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine. This was back in 2019. We talked with Heidi Paulson right here on this show, and I wrote a story on our Montana Talks website about her battle to help wounded police officers. So her husband, Ladd Paulson, was severely wounded while on duty as a police officer in Billings, Montana, over 20 years ago. And what was crazy about this story is that disabled police officers who were wounded on duty were basically, I'm trying to think of a nicer way to say it, they were getting screwed over on their taxes because they were receiving disability payments after being wounded on duty. So thankfully, Montana Senator Steve Daines got a fix across the finish line at the federal level. He got his bill, the Put First Responders First bill, signed into law. But apparently there's been a hiccup at the Montana level. Heidi Paulson, thanks for being back with us.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me. Yeah, thanks to Steve Daines, we were able to get that bill passed. It went through as part of the Secure 2.0 legislation. Unfortunately, it doesn't go into effect until 2027 due to a part of the House negotiations on that bill. So we're still waiting for that to actually get implemented. So in the meantime, the Montana code had a hiccup in it as far as the tax status for first responders goes. And even though under IRS revenue ruling, when a law enforcement officer or firefighter is critically injured in the line of duty, their disability pension is supposed to be tax exempt until they reach retirement age. The way our Montana code is written is unclear, and there's been problems with the way that our 1099s have been being issued since 2013. The current legislature had, and we were up in Helena for a different bill that we had introduced this year, and I saw be HB 62, which was just the Montana State Public Employees Retirement Administration's bill for updating language. Basically, it's just that every year they kind of update the language for the Public Retirement Association. And I saw in that bill that there was some language that adjusted language for judges, sheriffs, game wardens, but it didn't address police and fire. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird.
Huh.
So I dug into that a little further. And basically, it was fixing the gap, the problem for the tax status for judges, sheriffs, and game wardens, and all other
all these other categories. Yeah. So
categories like
so. Just so I'm tracking here.
It did.
So just so I'm tracking here. Just so I'm tracking here, Heidi. So basically, you guys, because he was injured on the job and getting disability, payments, you got hammered on your federal taxes. So Senator Daines has now had this bill passed that would fix the federal tax issue, so you don't get hammered on your federal taxes because of your disability payments for being injured on the job. But because of Montana's definition of how they how they define this, police officers who get wounded on the job and then have to collect disability. That's why we need to basically now fix things at the Montana level. So House Bill 62, after you identified this gap where first responders, police officers, line of duty disabled police and firefighters, have they now made these fixes to House Bill 62 to where our injured police and firefighters will also be included?
So we couldn't amend House Bill 62 because it was already in well on its way through. So we had to create a whole separate bill for police and fire. So Senator Zolnikoff was able to get another bill drafted specifically for police and fire and get them fixed. That is working its way through. So Senate Bill 316. And basically what the problem was with police and fire is they're language was written first, and everybody else was written later. And it's just due to vague language, because nobody ever thought that it's legalese.
Yeah, yeah. So the bottom line for our listeners is, hey, encourage your lawmakers to pass Senate Bill 316 by Senator Dan Zolnikoff. That will fix this in the Montana Code. Is that a good way to summarize that?
Yep, basically, yep. It's just a matter of the wording just needs to differentiate line of duty disability versus other disabilities. So somebody, has an injury off duty versus when they're injured on duty. Basically is what it needs to differentiate.
Well, Heidi Paulson, I got to take a hard break here, but thank you so much for what you continue to do and for your family's sacrifice. And I appreciate you joining us this morning on the show.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Remember, Crimea was annexed under Obama and Biden. This war started under Joe Biden. And what happened is it evolved into a conflict, basically a proxy war between the U.S. and Russia. Now, what do I mean by proxy war? Because if we weren't providing hundreds of billions of dollars, I'm sorry, the military might of Russia. This is simple mathematics when it comes to warfare. They have more soldiers. They have more sophisticated equipment. They are more prepared for war. But if it wasn't for the United States and to a smaller extent European countries providing the weaponry to Ukraine, this war would have been over.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, your friend Sean Hannity here. We're seeing more and more crime reported every single day. Home invasions, road rage incidents, the list goes on. But all of these incidents don't require lethal force. In fact, according to law enforcement statistics, 99% of all altercations do not require lethal force. You need a less lethal plan so you don't end up behind bars. That's where burner, the less lethal self-defense option, comes in. The burner less lethal self-defense platform provides formidable stopping power without the complexities and potential legal consequences of a homicide. Now, burner launchers are legal in all 50 states. You don't need a background check. You don't need a permit. No waiting period. I own them. I give them away as gifts to my friends, my family. Just go to burner, BYRNA.com/Hannity. You'll get a 10% discount off any purchase. BYRNA.com/Hannity. Burner, where safety meets responsibility and preparation meets peace of mind.
It's March 3rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Anthem Day, commemorating when the U.S. officially adopted the Star-Spangled Banner as the national anthem under President Herbert Hoover in 1931. Written by Francis Scott Key in 1814, the national anthem was originally a poem titled Defense of Fort McHenry. The poem is about the British naval bombardment of the fort, which Key witnessed from a distance. For 25 hours, the fort withstood more than 1,500 cannon shots as the 1,000 American soldiers held firm before eventually unfurling a giant American flag in the morning light and defeating the British landing party. Also on this date in 1991, video showing the savage beating of black man Rodney King by four white officers of the Los Angeles Police Department aired on television. The video became a symbol for police brutality, and roughly a year later, violent riots would take place in L.A. after the officers were acquitted of their actions. I'm Tushar Saxena with your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is crazy. This is crazy. So I was catching up more with Heidi Paulson during the break there, and I know we're almost out of time this hour of the show, and then we got Congressman Zinke joining us here in just a few minutes for our statewide town hall meeting coming up. But I was chatting with her. So Senate Bill 316, that's the bill by Senator Zolnikoff that will fix the deal for our, you know, our wounded on duty first responders, police officers, firefighters, et cetera. SB 316 already passed the House or the Senate in big numbers, and then hopefully we'll do the same on the House side. She told me that there's another bill that they're working to get through as well, House Bill 140 by Representative Schomer out of the Billings area. This would basically provide the same type of property tax relief for disabled first responders or survivors of our fallen police officers or fallen firefighters, those killed in the line of duty. So they would get the same type of relief if disabled or fallen in the line of duty that our fallen warriors, our fallen service members or their survivors would receive. So it just makes sense. You know, we've done a great job of taking care of our fallen military service members. Why wouldn't we do the same for our fallen police officers, our fallen firefighters? So that is House Bill 140. This is what I thought was so crazy, though. So she was telling me about House Bill 140 by Representative Schomer. It passed the Montana House of Representatives 97 to 2. And so I said, well, who were the two that voted no on it? Who were the two that voted no on this? And she said, oh, I can't remember the two, but I remember one of them was Zoe Zephyr. Wow, that just floored me. So here you have Zoe Zephyr, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula, who the media treats him like a hero. Because he chopped off his you-know-what, and he wants kids to be able to chop off their you-know-whats, and he wants to be able to give kids these drugs in the name of the transgender agenda. That guy gets treated like a hero in the Montana media. But here, that guy had a chance to honor actual heroes. Fallen law enforcement officers, fallen firefighters, or those injured in the line of duty. And he votes no to real Montana heroes. Who is the other one to vote no? I had to pull it up. A Democrat from Billings, Montana. James, is it Revis? Is it Revis? Really? Really? You just voted against. You're in Billings, Montana, and you voted against firefighters and law enforcement injured in the line of duty. Wow. Oh, Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, as I say unbelievable, it's totally believable, isn't it, actually? It actually is totally believable, which is the sad commentary on the state of politics today. All right, our statewide town hall meeting coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Hey, you know, it's interesting when you hear about, you know, injured in the line of duty or whatever. You know, it's, I'll tell you what, many of you, how many of you, your knees hurt or you've got a bad back? Well, you know, I've had back issues, of course. You know, anybody who's spent time in the infantry, you've got a bad back pretty much. If you've had some hard landings, you've had a bad back. You've got a bad back. You know what the one thing I've heard? I've had listeners who heard me talk about Billings last diet. And I ran into one guy. I was down at Billings last diet doing my check-in, my monthly check-in with my diet coach. And I ran into a listener. And I said, he was telling me he lost 90 pounds thanks to Billings' last diet. And I said, wow. I said, well, can you feel the difference? He said, oh, yeah, my knees don't hurt anymore. Think about that. If you're carrying around 90 pounds and you lose that weight and you burn the fat and you keep the muscle mass, think about it. Think about what else would not hurt, right? Anyway, it's a game changer. They've got a remote option, so even if you don't live in Billings, you can benefit from Billings Last Diet. Check them out, BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call right now during the break, 406-294-6751, to get started today. Spring break for some people, right?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Montana is not a very urbanized state, but the U.S. is a very urbanized country. And even though the landscape of big cities seems fixed at any point in time, a look at history books reveals plenty of changes. Those stories of growth and decline have any lesson for us here? You might think that metro areas that are big tend to stay that way, but the lens of history says otherwise. In 1870, St. Louis was the fourth largest city in the country, larger than Chicago. The railroad drastically changed that. Detroit, Baltimore, and even Boston have been pushed aside by Sunbelt cities that continue to grow rapidly. The invention of air conditioning has changed many things. You can get an idea of Montana's changing growth from the numbering system used in our vehicle license plates, of course. The current numbering system reflects population rank in 1930, with a few exceptions. If they were updated, mining-related declines would make Butte Silver Bow's current number one fall to 8, while tech and visitor growth in Gallatin County would vault them to number 2. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.